Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Some big news out today. One, Iran has confiscated three British boats and apparently seized a number of British Navy personnel, Royal Navy personnel. We'll look at that story in a moment. Iran claiming that the Brits were in their waterways, violating their own national waterways. And a second story about the upcoming Republican convention in New York City. It turns out that unions may boycott the Republican convention, but not because of the Republican Party, but because they're mad at CNN. What a convoluted story this is. CNN, of course, would be there to cover the convention, and CNN had terminated relationships with employees represented by a broadcast union, and it will not recognize the union. And so now the union, to get back, is saying that it will put up a picket line at the Republican convention, and other New York City unions are likely to honor the picket line, which is just hysterical. I mean, it couldn't be more bizarre. And here at Bob Enyart Live, we try to clearly spell out what's right and what's wrong about unions and how should unions function and why the current way in America that unions function is destructive to the unions themselves in the long haul and to our economy. And unions could function perfectly, properly, and with a good influence on our economy and Americans in general, but the way we do it is bad. If that's a topic of interest to you, feel free to call 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And then this is the big story, I think. Now, this is preliminary information, but United Press International is reporting on, and this was on Meet the Depressed yesterday, right, on Sunday TV, that the 9/11 Commission has received new information indicating a tie, if the information turns out to be not only corroborated but valid. That it's not some kind of a coincidence. Information that connects Iraq to not only Al-Qaeda, but a 9/11 planning meeting. And here's the story. The commission investigating the September 11th terror attacks has received new information indicating that a senior officer in an elite unit of the Iraqi security services, that's the Fedayeen. Remember the Fedayeen? I don't know that they're actually an elite unit. But they're units that were especially committed to Saddam, pulled from his hometown of Tikrit and the neighboring vicinity. So at any rate, according to UPI here, new information indicating that a senior officer in an elite unit of the Iraqi security services of Saddam Hussein may have been a member of Al-Qaeda involved in the planning of the suicide hijackings on 9/11, according to 9/11 Commission panel members yesterday. Now, Commission member John Lehman, he was a defense official back in the Reagan administration. John Lehman told NBC's Meet the Depressed that documents, that's Rush's line, right? That's funny. Meet the Depressed. That's just a crack up. At any rate, he told NBC's Meet the Depressed that documents captured in Iraq indicate that there is at least one officer of Saddam's Fedayeen, a lieutenant colonel, who was a very prominent member of Al-Qaeda. Now, obviously, if this turns out to be true, this is extremely significant. The war in Iraq is justified because Saddam Hussein is a mass murderer and systematically raped, tortured, and murdered Iraqi civilians. So the war in Iraq is justified. Any nation in the world that goes in and deposes a mass murderer tyrant has done a good thing. And, of course, the aftermath, you know, we've been saying, how long has it been now? Going on a year? That we've been saying on Bobignart Live, we've been giving the reason that the aftermath of the war is so difficult. And in a year of giving the main reason, it's somewhat surprising to me that not one other media outlet or talking head has hit upon the same reason of why the aftermath is so difficult in Iraq. Why is it? What is the main reason? You'll know if you've been listening to Bobignart Live. It's because of our smart bombs, our precision-guided munitions. This Gulf War II was the most targeted offensive in wartime in the history of the human race. So that the country of Iraq paid a very minimal price in human suffering during the prosecution of this war. So, for example, when we fought against Japan and Germany and Italy in World War II, not only a handful of soldiers paid a great price, but the countries themselves, the civilian populations, paid an enormous price in suffering for the war that those countries brought upon themselves. So that after the war, the people, the civilians, overwhelmingly would not tolerate anybody resisting the victors, the Allies. Now, our war against Iraq, we were so delicate and so merciful in our conduct of this war that the people of Iraq, they didn't really pay a price. They didn't pay a price. So when the war was over, those who wanted to continue Saddam's regime or those who wanted to prop up, perhaps get a new terrorist regime in place, they don't really have the utter condemnation of the Iraqi people that they would have had if it was an old-fashioned war. Because the Iraqi people didn't suffer because of America and Britain and our allies, because of our desire to be merciful to the Iraqi people, the nation of Iraq wasn't punished in the war. So the nation of Iraq, the people of Iraq, are not really repentant. And they're not going to hold insurgents to a standard of respect for America and the coalition authority. They're not going to do it because they didn't pay the great price. They paid a greater price under Saddam Hussein than they did being attacked by America and Britain and 30 other countries. And so that's the number one reason that the aftermath of the war has been so difficult. That's it, because of the mercy of the American forces, armed forces. That's the number one reason. At any rate, to get back to this UPI story, so this Reagan-era defense official told NBC's Meet the Press that documents captured in Iraq indicate that there is at least one officer of Saddam's Fedayeen, a lieutenant colonel, who was a very prominent member of Al-Qaeda. Now, of course, that's significant. It could be that an Al-Qaeda member infiltrated the Fedayeen without Saddam's knowledge. That's a possibility. But there were a number of contacts between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And there's been no evidence to date that anyone in Saddam's government knew about the specific planning of 9/11, other than one possible meeting that seems to be questioned in Germany with Mohammed Atta and a member of Saddam's armed forces. But this is pretty specific. The Fedayeen were a special unit, and they were pulled from Saddam's hometown area. And this lieutenant colonel, Ahmed Hikmat Shakir, is his name. Now, that's the same name as an Iraqi who was thought to have attended a planning meeting for the September 11th attacks in January of the year 2000 in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And that meeting, that particular meeting in January, was attended by two of the eventual hijackers, Khalid al-Midhar and Nawaf al-Hamzi, and senior al-Qaeda leaders. Notice this hijacker, al-Hamzi. For those who listened to the show, we talked about all the ham and all the names of the terrorists. H-A-M appears over and over in so many of their names. This guy's Hamzi. It's just a peculiarity, a coincidence from the Bible, and the son of Noah, Ham, and he fathered the Canaanites, Canaan and the Canaanites, who led into, obviously, many of the Arabs. And anyway, Ham, it's just amazing how many names 4,500 years later have Ham in them, H-A-M, including Mohammed. But let's go to Decatur, Alabama. Michael, speak your mind. Hello, Michael. Now, I can't hear you, Michael. Why don't you give me a count to 10? We'll see if we can fix the problem. Let's see. Nope. I'm going to put you back on hold. All right, I put Michael back on hold, and perhaps we'll try again in a moment. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, so let's continue with the story. This commission member, John Lehman, he said that staff members are working on this issue, and Shakir is a common name in Iraq, and that could be. So Shakir, the last name, is a common name. I don't know how common Ahmed Hikmat Shakir would be. But, of course, that is extremely significant. If it turns out to be the same guy, it just substantively adds to the contacts between Saddam Hussein's government and al-Qaeda. And again, not that it goes to whether or not the war is justified. The war is justified because Saddam Hussein is a mass murderer. So the war is justified. And it's good and right for another country to end the regime of a mass murderer who's the head of a government. That's good and right to do. And so the war is justified, but, of course, the world, in their condemnation of America, is obsessed with the lack of weapons of mass destruction that have been found, even though there are continued and apparently credible reports that Saddam was shipping out weapons of mass destruction to Syria and even to Turkey. We just left Turkey 10 days ago. All right, we'll try Michael again. All right, let's see. Michael from Decatur, Alabama, welcome. Nope. The caller can barely hear me, and I cannot hear the caller. So we've got a basic problem there. All right. Yep, poor caller is not going to be able to get on the show. So live radio. Now we've got a, what's the name of our phone interface system here? We got a Gentner. That's the industry standard, right? We got a Gentner. It's hard to get engineers out here, I'll tell you that much. Out in our underground bunker in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. It's hard to get engineers out here, but the thing should work. When's the last time we tested the caller access to the show? 4 minutes before airtime. That's when we tested it. It must be a demon in the phone. Come out! Come out! I think there's a demon in the phone. We got to get that guy from Theology Online to exorcise the demons in the phone system here. What is his name? Anybody out there? No? Freak. That's right. His name, F-R-E-A-K. I don't know why he goes by that name at Theology Online, other than he thinks it's descriptive. But his big thing is exorcising demons. What does he charge to get a demon out of a phone system? Anybody know? Takes donations only. He doesn't have actual retail hourly prices, rates. All right. Well, see if you could get him on the job. Okay. All right. So a bit more of this story from UPI. Let's see here. The revelation seems... On Wednesday, the commission published a staff statement saying that contacts between the regime and Al-Qaeda do not appear to have resulted in a collaborative relationship. So, of course, what the commission was saying was Iraq had a number of contacts with Al-Qaeda, but we don't know that they were working on any particular project together. And we don't know that they were working together on the attack of 9/11. And just the fact that when you have a terrorist organization and that organization has a number of contacts with the government, and those contacts are not at the receiving end of an Apache helicopter Hellfire missile. Like when we have contacts with Al-Qaeda, it's because we're killing them. It's a contact from a bullet or a bomb or a missile. But Iraq had contacts with Al-Qaeda that were meetings where they talked. And they explored to what extent they could benefit one another. Undoubtedly. What do you think they discussed? Interest rates from the World Bank? So we don't have evidence that they were working on any specific project? Big deal. So what? Saddam Hussein is a mass murdering tyrant who should be killed. And since we captured him alive, we might as well go ahead and try him first and then kill him. It would have been a little bit more fun to kill him first and then try him, but just so happened this way. He gave up. He was supposed to go down fighting. Remember that? That's what Osama said too. We'll find out about Osama soon enough. But to continue with the story, so the commission said, well, they did not appear to have a collaborative relationship, and now they need to investigate this new evidence. All right, and it cracks me up. It continues to crack me up with John Kerry, who condemns George Bush for saying the exact same things that John Kerry had been saying for a few years, up until 2003, about Saddam and Iraq and weapons of mass destruction and the whole bit. But all right, should we try this again? We'll try this again. Okay. Let's see. Dave in Coldwater, Kansas.
Hi. How you doing, Bob?
Hello, Dave. Doing well. Welcome to the show.
Great. Yeah, I wanted to say a few things about, I just got your Get Out of the Matrix video.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to speak for you, but is it my understanding that you offer your materials free to atheists?
We do that with our Mount Moriah video.
Okay.
Are you suggesting that an atheist should look at the Get Out of the Matrix video?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that sounds like a good suggestion to me.
If there's any atheists or humanists or, you know, garden variety heathens out there, self-proclaimed or whatever.
A pagan, a heathen, and anybody who's not a Christian.
Anybody who thinks that God is a myth, I mean, if you think that is a worldview that's based on sound logic, you shouldn't be afraid to watch it. So I would take Bob up on an offer if he is to watch that video.
Dave will offer it. This is a one-time offer at Bob and Yurt Live. Any unbeliever who wants to see Get Out of the Matrix, now they might not want to view it because they're in the Matrix.
That's exactly right.
And they may not want to get out. You know, in that movie, when Neo tried to get people out of the Matrix, or I don't know all the names of the characters, but the black guy, who was he?
I guess I've never seen the movie, so I can't tell you.
Oh, well, that's why we named the video after the movie.
Uh-huh.
But, everybody's living in the Matrix, and they just want to stay in the Matrix. They don't want to learn that reality is completely different than they've become accustomed to assume.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we did this live debate with a college philosophy class and their professor, the Matrix had just been out and been a huge hit.
Uh-huh.
And so every student in the class had seen the Matrix. And so we titled this Get Out of the Matrix.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of the professor, the teacher?
Typical of college professors, I, on a whim about 10 years ago, and I don't even know why, took some college courses.
Yeah.
And found the same thing. You know, I ended up going around and around with the teachers myself. Mm-hmm. And I'd say it's probably pretty typical of what you'll find in a college today.
I asked her, in front of the class if it was absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman.
And she refused to answer.
Yeah, she said, well, it depends. And she wouldn't answer. If it depends, obviously she doesn't think it's absolutely wrong. So, yeah, that's the difference between a Christian and a typical relativist, atheist, agnostic, teaching a philosophy class in our American colleges, is we can say authoritatively that there is such a thing as right and wrong, and it is absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman. Atheistic evolutionists, they can't say that.
That's right.
That challenges their entire worldview. They're threatened. Right. When we say that it was absolutely wrong for the Nazis to murder millions of innocent people, men, women, and children, atheistic evolutionists, that simple statement challenges them. It threatens them.
It blows their whole worldview out of the water.
Yeah, because from their worldview, from atheistic evolution, there's no such thing as absolute right and wrong. If one fish is bigger than another fish, he can eat it.
That's right.
And if we are just animals and there is no God and no judgment day, and when you close your eyes that last time, if it's all over, then it's all over. So at any rate, Christianity is the standard by which people will be judged. In fact, to say that more accurately, Jesus Christ is the standard.
That's right.
By which men will be judged. And if you go to your deathbed rejecting Jesus Christ and ignoring the fact that he suffered and died for you and rose from the dead so that you could overcome eternal death, then on Judgment Day, he will be your enemy.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah, because you're making him your enemy.
And again, I'd just like to challenge anybody out there listening. That,
all right. How do they order it? Let's see. They can either call or write to us, or sending an email is sort of useless because we get too many emails. We don't have the staff to read them.
Right.
We read them hit or miss. So they can call us at 888-8-NYART. That's 1-888-836-9278. Or they can mail us at Bob and Yurt Live. Enyart is E-N-Y-A-R-T. Bob and Yurt Live. I don't spell Bob or live for like survival of the fittest. If you can't figure that out, don't even write us.
That's right.
Bob and Yurt Live, P.O. Box 583. 583, Arvada, A-R-V-A-D-A, Arvada, Colorado. That's abbreviated CO80001.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to put a bug in your ear, and
thank you, Dave,
for the video. It's fantastic.
Okay, so you just ordered that recently from us?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Thanks so much for the encouragement.
Hey, take care.
God bless you. Boy, do I appreciate that. And, you know, we've got dozens of videos and, well, a couple dozen videos. And so many of them, they're these jewels, these hidden jewels that people don't realize they're there. Now, our Mount Moriah and God and the Death Penalty video, they are now coming out on DVD. And that's exciting for us, the first Bob and Yurt Live videos on DVD. And then we'll probably follow those up with Get Out of the Matrix and a Bible Tour of Israel on DVD. I'd say we're close enough that if there's anybody out there who wants to order a video and they want it on DVD, you could go ahead and call us and let us know. And as we fill our stock, we're replacing VHS tapes with DVDs. So if you got a title you really want on a DVD, let us know, and we will sell that to you. It's the same price as the VHS. Most of our videos are $24.95 or $19.95, plus shipping and handling. The Does God Exist video, that's 2 hours of evidence for the existence of God. One of our favorite videos from our audience members tell us is Video Fruitcake. Hilarious liberal callers, a great gift idea, Video Fruitcake. That's because people like to send, I don't know why, for Christmas, fruitcakes to folks. They send them across the country, a fruitcake. Why do you do that? Who's ever gotten a fruitcake and said, I'm so excited I got a fruitcake? I don't know. I don't quite get it. I never figured out the appeal of a fruitcake. In one family, they sent their family members from New York, they sent to California a fruitcake. And that family put the fruitcake in the freezer, and a year later, they sent it back as a gift for the next Christmas. And that's really funny because the next year, 1 year later, that original family sent the same fruitcake again. And so then the fourth time, it was all done on TV. The receiving family for the fruitcake, they were invited onto a national TV, a daytime talk show, and they didn't know. They thought they were just randomly chosen. And the high school football, you know, the marching band of their town came on the show and did a big song and a presentation to the family, and they gave them the fruitcake, the same fruitcake. And so here we are with Video Fruitcake. It costs a lot less to mail Video Fruitcake than it does an actual fruitcake. You don't have to freeze it, and it won't make you fat. I mean, what else can you ask for? It's a great gift idea, Video Fruitcake. And it really is a funny video. So, and then we have really fun Bible studies. In fact, we've just started on Sunday nights our study in the book of Acts, the New Testament book of Acts. What a great study that'll be. But the next two Sunday nights will be, I'll be at a family reunion and then July 4th. So Sunday morning church, come on out to Denver Bible Church. But Sunday night, we won't be there. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.